amazing words, and then we're going to hear from Susie.
Please take out your Bibles to follow the reading. The reading is from Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. If you're following the church Bible, the page number is 842. Once, when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others that one of the ancient prophets has arisen." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to them all, "If any wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God."
Well, thank you, Raina. My headset's playing up, so I'll speak from here today. What a joy it is to be here at Oak Tree today, to be opening up the Word of God together. As many of you know, I live in Pakenham with my husband David and my two daughters. And my daughters are very settled at their school. It's a lovely small Lutheran school. And so we've chosen to remain living in Pakenham and to drive here to Caulfield each week. I know many of our members drive some distance to be here, which is understandable because Oak Tree is such a wonderful community to be a part of. But it struck me early on that if I'm going to be driving 50 kilometres each way several times during the week, I needed to think about how to use my time, how to make my time on the Monash useful, so it won't bother me whether it speeds up or whether it slows right down. And so one of the things I have is an audio Bible. Over just one return trip, for example, I listened to the whole Gospel of Luke, from which today's reading comes. It was good preparation for today. One of the things that really struck me is that there is no sense of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, in Luke's Gospel. It does contain warm, encouraging teachings by Jesus that show his heart for the poor and for those on the margins. But the overwhelming thing which struck me is that the gospel is feisty. A friend recently summarised her understanding of our mission like this. Jesus sends us out. We should expect suffering, persecution, and death. Anything less is a bonus. It's not exactly a typical evangelistic message. But is she wrong? The front cover of today's bulletin features the cross and says this: "The cross, anyone can wear one, but can you bear one?" If you read through Luke or listen to it on an audio Bible, you find that God is constantly confronting and shaking beliefs. God takes Zechariah's voice for not believing the angel. A virgin falls pregnant and gives birth. John the Baptist lived and preached out in the wilderness wearing camel's hair and eating locusts. Mary and Joseph have to make an arduous journey to Bethlehem. John calls people a brood of vipers and is beheaded for his troubles. Simeon prophesies over the baby Jesus that he will be a sign that is spoken against and that Mary's own soul will be pierced. Jesus was tempted in the desert after 40 days of fasting. He's rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. There are fierce reactions to Jesus' preaching. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus pronounced woes as well as blessings. "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. Woe to you who are well fed. "Woe to you who laugh now." Jesus does talk about love, including love your enemies, bless those who curse you. At the time we get to today's passage, Jesus' disciples have been following him for 3 years. He's trained them, he sent the 12 out to do as he had been doing, to preach, to heal, and to drive out demons. He gathers them back together, he feeds the 5,000, and now at long last, as he sits with the 12, they see clearly who it is that they are following. He's the Messiah. For 1,000 years, the Jewish people had been waiting for someone new like David, to be even greater than King David. And now here is the Messiah. This should be a crescendo, a time of celebration, a time of excitement. But Jesus explains it in confronting words of trial and suffering. That's the passage of today. What does it mean to be following Jesus the Messiah? There is a perspective which means we can bring our needs to him, our sickness. We can ask for spiritual freedom. All that is part of Jesus' ministry. However, we discover in this passage that central to following Jesus, the essence of being his disciple, is none of those things. Just as Peter declared, "You are the Messiah," Jesus replies that he will suffer, be persecuted, be killed, and then on the third day be raised to life. Suffer, rejection, persecution, be killed, and then raised. He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." To be his disciple means to follow him where he is going. Where he's going is suffering, rejection, death, and then being raised. The path to the future resurrection, the path to eternal life, goes through the suffering and through the rejection. This is not a popular teaching that you would preach if your goal was to fill the place. But this is Jesus' teaching, and we need to listen and learn. Now, some people might say, "I come to church to be encouraged and built up. I've had a hard week. I want to walk away feeling good about myself and about the world's future." And at Oak Tree, we do often preach sermons that focus on our hope and our joy in following Christ, that focus on the love God has for us. This series, about dying to live, lets us look at another equally important part of Jesus' message. It's tragic when I hear of people who've lost faith or walked away from God because hardships came. Something happens that seems unfair. A longing remains unfulfilled, and they say, "Where was God?" Sometimes in those circumstances, people question God's love or his power and walk away. This is tragic because we see here that Jesus tells us no such things are guaranteed. Being Jesus' disciple, following him, means following him into suffering, into rejection, perhaps even being killed on our way to being raised with him. The cross. Anyone can wear one, but can you bear one? Sometimes I think we interpret taking up our cross in the big things. Someone who gives away a large amount of money. Someone who chooses a job that is meaningful but doesn't pay much or comes with hardships. Maybe there's someone who's needy yet very challenging to care for. So you might say you take up a cross to plunge in and walk alongside that person. Perhaps there's a temptation we struggle with and we say we take up our cross to withstand it. Those are important and relevant examples. But here Luke records Jesus saying we take up our cross daily. Every day we must be prepared to take up our cross. The world keeps telling us that ideally we'll have a job we find fulfilling, And if we can't, we work to live and we work for our retirement. We deserve the luxuries of life. We deserve to indulge. One ad tells us, because you're worth it. The world wants to tell the church that if we're not popular, we've gone wrong. They will say that if our message turns people away, we've gone wrong. But they don't recognise that many were angry with Jesus. He showed love, but not in the way some expected it to be shown. He showed compassion, but not according to the ways others sought to impose. He brought freedom, but not from the things people expected to be freed from. Take up your cross daily. What might that mean? Well, think about what great challenges we face at the moment. We live in a world that increasingly seeks to dictate what people can say and even what people can think. Our very own former Human Rights Commissioner spoke sadly of the fact that people can't be stopped from saying what they want over the kitchen table. When it comes to views she finds objectionable, she believes people should be stopped from expressing or holding them, even in private. I often have people in evangelical circles ask me about my clergy collar. In my last job, I wore it quite regularly, and if I'm wearing it to work, I'm therefore wearing it at the petrol station or in the shops on the way home, wearing it about town on those days. And some people say to me, but it confronts our culture. And yet I have found that there are hundreds of Christians like you every day in our community being salt and light by your witness and your conduct. There is also a role in our society for those of us set apart for a distinctive and noticeable ministry in the way that we dress. And so there have been times at the shops where people have come up to me and said, "That looks like a priest, but you're a woman. Are you a priest?" And I've been able to have conversations about God's love and the way he gifts men and women equally. Or people who've said to me, "Are you a priest? I need to talk to you." They don't know my name. They know nothing about me. But they know, because of the collar, they can ask me to pray, or they can share the burden that's on their heart. And so even if sometimes I get funny looks, even if sometimes there are those who might skirt me more widely, I wear the collar proudly and openly to welcome those who want to speak to a priest. There are many contexts in which the gospel confronts the narrative of our culture. It doesn't follow culture's narrative to seek the right to life of the unborn, or the rights for love and care of the elderly and sick to the end of their days. Whether it be our need to care for asylum seekers in our midst, or whether it be our defence of the idea of children growing up with a mother and a father, whether it be our response to people who are confused about their identity as male or female and wanting to support them in ways that don't chemically alter their bodies or bring irreversible infertility or cancer risk. Out where I live, Officer Secondary College is a government school that champions the Safe Schools program. And they were caught up in furious debate recently because they included in sex ed for their Year 8 students an encouragement to delay sexual experimentation. You might think that parents would be highly supportive of their 13 and 14-year-old children being encouraged to wait until they're older for sex. But no. The school was lambasted by many for preaching abstinence, which it wasn't, and for making young people feel guilty or ashamed about their bodies and what they do with them. If even this school, with its philosophy on gender, can fall foul of our culture's narrative, just think about how countercultural the church's message is. Our society says, "I must be allowed to do what I want with my body, when I want to, and without consequences." But we know there are spiritual consequences to all that we do, and usually very practical physical and emotional ones as well. What does it mean to take up our cross in a sexualized world where pornography is on billboards? And beer companies are blacklisted for being involved in an ad suggesting we can agree to disagree on some issues, yet still get along as humans. Now, I realise that on some of these issues, there are differences of opinion even within the church. If you have genuinely searched the scriptures and come to a different opinion, I respect that. Part of living in community is that we continue to work these things through. Where we have a bigger problem is when we're silent not because we don't disagree with our society, but because we're scared of the consequences. Because speaking up for our understanding of God's truth might lead to suffering or might lead to rejection. Perhaps even sometimes we might feel ashamed of how others will think of us or treat us. To bring God's truth and the truth of His way into our world is essential. Therefore, in this passage, Jesus is confronting us about what it means to take up our cross daily. I'm not interested in being part of the largest church in Caulfield or in Melbourne or the largest church in Australia. I'm interested in being part of a church that seeks God's heart, that builds His kingdom and seeks His glory. A church that shows His love to all, but without compromising our understanding of His truth and His holiness. Jesus showed great compassion to the woman caught in adultery. He saved her from being stoned, but He said, "Go and sin no more." He gently spoke to the rich young man who wished to follow Him, to point out that there was something he loved more than God. And Jesus allowed that man to walk away, having made the choice that he liked money more than God. Jesus challenged the Pharisees with His love of tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners, not so that they would keep on with those lifestyles, but so that by seeing His love and hearing His teaching, they might change and repent and follow Him. So when we're out of step with the world around us, we need to ask the question, are we being unpopular for a necessary or unnecessary reason? We don't want to put up artificial barriers. For example, we have services with two very different musical styles. Because musical style does not need to be a barrier to someone worshipping God and coming to know Him. But sometimes we're unpopular because we want to speak of God and what is true. We must be open to the possibility that what God calls us to in terms of our money, our time, our career, our gifts, our home, our possessions, our parenting, our retirement plans, even our friendships, might be something quite inconceivable to the world around us. When you think about your workplace, are there areas in which you might need to take up your cross? If there is dishonesty, maybe you need to speak up. If there is ungodly language, maybe you need to do more to refrain. If you're asked your opinion, maybe you need to be bolder and prepared to share honestly, thoughtfully, compassionately, but honestly according to how the Lord guides you. Are you open to God taking your career on a different path than the one you expected? For parents of children, you need to be having these important conversations about the issues of the day with your kids. Because the reality of the schooling system is that they're being taught plenty of ungodly views. Even in a Christian school where you might agree with the official teaching stance, your children's peers may be persuading them of something quite different, influencing them in different ways. We need to model for our children how to think these issues through, how to explain a love for all people without a sense of all choices being equally truthful or helpful. How sad it is when people lose their faith over suffering. We need an eternal perspective and a kingdom perspective. Our kids need an eternal perspective and a kingdom perspective. In our connect groups, we need to be encouraging each other in an eternal perspective and a kingdom perspective. This passage calls us to rethink what we see as our purpose and our goals, to redefine the good life, to redefine success. We need to be challenging our children and young adults to rethink the world's definitions on these issues also as they plan out their life goals. Jesus the Messiah was to suffer, be rejected, killed, and then raised. Those who follow him must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow. Whoever loses their life for Jesus will save it. We also must be prepared to suffer, be rejected, even killed, knowing with confidence that we will be raised to eternal life. We must confront the issue of making Christianity relevant, engaging, and appealing, because if it's the priority, we run the risk of missing the whole point. Jesus sends us out. We should expect suffering, persecution, and death. Anything less is a bonus. The cross. Anyone can wear one. Can you, will you, bear one?
Well, I feel quite challenged by Susie's words there. There's a lot to think about, and as the band are coming up, and we're going to go into a time of worship now, I just want to encourage you that whatever God started to stir you with through that message that Susie's brought, just say yes to him. Say, okay, let's keep going along that track. Whatever it was that in Susie's message kind of jumped out at you or grabbed you by the heart or is left now in the forefront of your mind, it might be just one thing that she said there. I want to encourage you while we worship now just to bring back that before the Lord and just let him have his way. He wants to do something beautiful in you. He wants to touch you. He wants to touch an area of your life. So let's just stand together and we're going to let the Holy Spirit minister to us as we have a time of worship. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask that you'd have your way. Precious Holy Spirit. Come and touch us. Come and continue the work that you've just started while Susie was speaking. In Jesus' name, amen.
If faith can move these mountains, let these mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. Oh, you're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you loved me from the start. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm waiting here for you. With our hands, yeah, lifted high in praise, yeah. And it's you, Lord God, I adore, singing hallelujah. You're everything you promised. Everything you promised, your faithfulness is true.
We're desperate,
Jesus. All we need is you. Oh, yeah. Oh, and we're waiting here, Lord. lifted high in praise. And it's you, yes it is, I adore, singing hallelujah. We're waiting here. With our hands, Lord, lifted high in praise. And it's you, Lord, we adore, singing hallelujah. Sing that, singing hallelujah.
This I know, with all my heart.
I gain from His reward. I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my rent. His wounds have paid my ransom. Oh, oh, oh.
Please take a seat as we continue to pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the world that you've created, for its beauty and its majesty. We thank you for all the good gifts that you've given us. Lord, we know that this world is hurting at the moment, and that breaks your heart. We pray for all those who are hurting, particularly in Barcelona and Turku at this time, Lord, and other places which have also suffered trauma in the past few weeks. We pray for your healing from that trauma, Lord, and for your peace. We pray particularly for the Giffords as they're away from their community in Barcelona at the moment. We ask, Father God, that you would give them your sense of your presence with them and an ability to connect with their community, to bring healing and to bring peace. And we pray for them as they return in the next few weeks that you'll be preparing their hearts, Lord. Father God, we pray for the families who've been affected, and particularly the family of little Julian Cadman, Lord. And we just pray as they seek to find answers to what has happened to Julian, Lord, that you would be with them in that search, Lord, and that you would be their strength. We pray for all those who are affected by floods in South Asia, Lord, who have lost their homes and lost their lives and livelihoods. Father God, we pray that you'll be in the reconstruction process in that area. Father God, we thank you for our nation of Australia. We thank you for the blessing and the privilege of living here and the way that you have chosen us to live in this wonderful land. We pray for our leaders at all levels, at national, state and local levels, Lord. And we pray that you would give them your wisdom and your discernment. We're so aware, Father God, that at the moment there's so many key issues that are going on and being discussed about in the life of our nation, whether they be marriage equality or euthanasia, refugees or Indigenous issues. Father God, we pray that you would be in the discussions about all these issues. Help us as your children to be salt and light to this world, to minister your grace and your reconciliation where there is division. And Father God, we thank you for our church community here in Oak Tree. We thank you for the leadership of Mark and Susie, and we pray that you'll bless them, Lord, and you will continue to give them your strength and your wisdom. We pray particularly for Susie while Mark's away, Lord, that you'll be with her and that you'll be leading her and guiding her and giving her a real sense of your presence with her. We thank you, Father, for Mark and the work that he's involved in Ethiopia at the moment. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be giving him the right words and actions to reach the people there for you. We pray also for his safety, for protection from illness and disease. And we also ask, Father God, that you'll give him the energy that he requires to do this ministry in your name. We thank you for all volunteers here at Oak Tree, Lord, and for staff as well, for the incredible hours that so many people put into ministering in your name and for glorifying you in this place. And that's something that we ask for each of us this week, Lord, as we go out, that you would give us the willingness and the energy to glorify you in our lives and to continue to minister as Jesus ministered to this world. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jenny, for leading our time of prayer. We are coming up to our last song now, but a couple of us are sensing that things have by no means finished here with what God wants to do in our hearts today. A couple of us are sensing that God would like to release fear, anyone who's carrying any fear. Now, it might be that through Susie's sermon and just in that time of worship before, that perhaps it was like this, perhaps you had a sense that you know the cross that God wants you to carry in this season or for today, but it might just look too daunting, and you might think, I haven't got the muscle to carry that. You know, that cross looks really heavy. I haven't got the strength to carry it. And you might think, I'm just feeling too scared, actually, to step out and carry that. And one of the things is that strikes me is when Jesus carried his cross, it was incredibly visible. When we carry our cross, it's actually probably going to be seen by people. And, you know, we probably need to be released this morning of any fear around that. So I wonder, in a minute we're going to take up an offertory while this song's taking place. And so you can see on this slide here that there are ways to give other than giving. If we could have that slide back, please, Owen, about the offertory. There are ways to give other than putting into the bags as they go around. You can see those options there. Perhaps if you would stand, I'd just like to pray for us. I'd just like to pray in accordance with what a couple of us are sensing the Lord wants to do. So the service is by no means over. If you're feeling like you're feeling trapped or held back, God's got more for you right now. So let's just pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are powerful in our circumstances. I thank you that you're the one that gives us the muscle to hold the cross, to bear the weight of that cross. I thank you, Jesus, that you've been showing people today what their cross is in this season, in this day. And Jesus, I thank you that you're the one who has the power to set us free so that we can carry our cross. And I take authority in Jesus' name over any form, any spirit of fear, intimidation, and anxiety that's coming against people who are wanting to say yes to that cross that Jesus has shown them. They're wanting to say yes, but thinking, but I can't quite do it. And in Jesus' name, I just command that fear, that spirit of fear and everything attached to it, to leave those people and leave the building now. In the powerful name of Jesus, I declare your freedom. And I release a word of courage here, a proclamation and a declaration of courage over us as a congregation, that we would be able to walk as salt and light. We'd be able to carry our cross. We'd be able to trust you, Jesus, that you would show us what to say and what to do in every circumstance, in every situation where we feel that this is too challenging. But as you break the fear off us, Jesus, as we come into that courage and come into that boldness, God, I thank you that you'll be with us, you'll go before us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross for the joy that was set before you. You went for the joy, you endured the cross, you endured the carrying of the cross too, for the joy that was set before you, and that joy was us. And I pray in Jesus' name that as we carry our crosses, as we bear our cross, each of us, that the joy of the Lord would be before us, that we would see the Lord, that we would walk in a fullness of joy despite what's going on, that we would be able to just press on because you just empower us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
All right, let's find courage in the Lord, eh?
I stand before you now, the greatness of your renown.
I've
heard of majesty and wonder of you, King of heaven. In humility I bow, at your loving wave after wave, it crashes over me, it crashes over me. But you are for us, you are not against us, champion of heaven, you made a way.
Heard you calling my name, and I have heard
It crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter into your love. In wave after wave, crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in.
You make me brave, you make me brave, you make me brave. Call us out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave. You make us brave, Jesus.
No fear.
Can't hinder now the love that made a way. And you make us brave. You make us brave, Jesus. You call us out beyond the shore into the waves. Can hinder now the love that made a way. As your love in wave after wave
crashes
over me, yeah, it crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to end again. As your love in wave after wave crashes over me, crashes over me, is over me. You are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to end. Champion heaven, you made a way for all to. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in.
A beautiful song of courage that we end on there. What a beautiful end to the service. I just want to let you know that hangout time is on at the moment. So if you've got children here today, that's where you'll find them, through that door. Please collect them by 12:30. And a reminder too that the healing service is on tonight. So we might be finishing our time of worship here, but really what's happening is it launches our worship of Jesus for the rest of the week. And we're going to start that now over coffee. And we're just going to be God's people worshiping. We're just going to be God's people as salt and light, carrying our cross through this week. So I want to say now to you all, go in peace to love and serve the Lord Christ. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.
As your love, you wave after wave, crashes over.